Hi, Kate Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliet. Welcome to the Kate Watch Party.
Today, we are back in the Singles Inferno universe. Inferno has never looked so good. With a full new cast of hotties, Kate Watchers know what that means. New nicknames. Are you ready for it? Let's go. Good morning, Juliet. How are you?
I'm great, except for the impending doom that is hanging over me on Sunday.
You act like you're a creator on the app that is like your life depends on it. Like this is how you make your money.
It's more important than actually a creator because this is my refuge.
From the weary world?
Yes.
Well, now you have Singles Inferno as a refuge. I forgot how much fun Singles Inferno is.
There was a lot of smiling and laughing. Mm-hmm.
So have you downloaded Red Note?
Little Red Book. I've threatened to a few times.
I mean, they're saying that one's way worse from a security standpoint.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I was just listening to a trust and safety policy podcast about...
Ooh, scintillating.
Oh, yeah. See, this is like the range of what I do and listen to. But how... I mean, it's heavily censored. That's one thing. It is actually a Chinese app based in China versus TikTok having had their servers in the US. They had American offices. So this is definitely worse. But it is hilarious what you are seeing on TikTok now where people are like, I'm going to the other side. What is it called? Xiaohongshu?
Little Red Book. Xiaohongshu.
Su. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? The Chinese are not happy about it.
And isn't the whole thing in Mandarin?
All of the features are in Mandarin. And the funniest thing is on TikTok, people are like trying to learn Chinese. Listen, this is what people are trying to learn right now.
Why? What is that?
I don't know what song this is, but obviously is a song in China, but it, for whatever reason, became very popular on TikTok. And so now people are recording themselves trying to learn this song so they can prepare themselves to get onto Xiaohongshu and be like, yes, I know Chinese.
No. What is wrong with people? It's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
I know you are in a state of mourning. You should be wearing black.
I am wearing all black right now, if you can't tell.
You need that like veil over your head like in Victorian times.
Well, you know, also the thing is, I was planning to become an influencer this year. That was my plan.
Oh my God, guys, literally.
Had different plans for me.
Is that just every year? Every time you're like, you know, when like Zynga was hot, like, oh, I should have done that. And when Substack came on, I should have done that. Like, you're just always.
I'm always two steps behind. That's been on my mind. How are you?
I'm sitting here with a heat pad on my neck. So
say you are in your 40s without saying you're in your 40s.
100%. And it's what happened? Like the plug in the wall, it wraps around my shoulders down to the mid back from the car crash. I got this pad because on my right side, my shoulder and my neck was like in pain for a little bit. And then just from, I think, whiplash stuff. And then they say that a few weeks later, your other side, your other muscles kind of have been bracing for the lack of use on the pain side. And so then that side starts feeling the pain because it's been taking over for the other side.
Right.
I think that's what's happening now. Like my neck. I'm like Zoolander. I'm not an ambi-turner right now. I can't turn left. So I just swivel left. It's my whole like neck is just frozen. It's terrible.
Oh, yeah. My God. I'm sorry.
That's your 40s, you know?
That is your 40s. When we were in Orange County at my parents' house, you know, their bed is not that comfortable. Mm-hmm, and so my husband, after like six nights there, he gets an Instagram reel because, of course, he's on Instagram. Bleh. But the reel says...
Also, tell me you're 40 without telling me you're 40.
Exactly. The reel said, after spending... three nights at your in-law's house and you're an ambi-turner, you can't move your head. I was like, wow, they just know too much.
They know. Oh, we did go to that dinner for our friend. It was at a Michelin star restaurant.
Oh, yes. How was it?
Super. I mean, every bite, you're just
blown away.
Like, it's just floored how good everything is. But there was a funny moment, probably, we were probably like on our eighth course. And every time, you know, they come back with a new set of utensils that are going to match the upcoming course.
Yes.
And so we're finally at like the meat course and they bring a knife and it's duck. And the duck is cooked perfectly. But, you know, we don't eat duck with a fork and knife often. At least I don't.
You use chopsticks.
I use chopsticks, right?
Right.
And so then I'm cutting it and there's six people at the table. I'm like, this, me and the woman next to me were like, this duck is just kind of tough, or like then they really need to sharpen their knives here because we could not cut through the meat.
Was it cooked rare or was it cooked well done?
I mean, it was cooked perfectly. The chef comes to the table, who we actually know. He actually lives across the street from us. And so we know him by first name. He had seen us before. He comes up and he looks at me. He's like, so the knife, you're using it backwards.
Stop it right now.
Two star.
Oh, my goodness.
Two star Michelin chef.
Did he hear you say this?
I don't know, but he definitely came up and said the knife is backwards. And I was like, oh. And it's, he's like, yeah, actually he buys these knives because the knife maker, his words were, he likes to fuck with people. So he says like the knife is actually backwards on purpose. Like I would never, because it's shaped the way a knife is shaped, that like you would use the side. Yes, it's like that curved side, curved, you would use it, but he actually flipped it. So the curved side goes up and the flat side is actually what you use to cut it.
Oh my God.
And my husband's like, well, if you, why wouldn't you have just flipped it around to just try it out? Like if it wasn't working, why wouldn't you
No, who does that? That's nobody's like, oh, let me use the dull flat side. You never think that the flat side is the side that cuts.
Right. Like it wouldn't have occurred to me that I would like need to flip it around.
Okay. Initially, when you told me the story, I was thinking you must be so embarrassed. That is humiliating. But now I'm like, okay, that seems reasonable. He, especially because you know he was trying to fuck with you, or he tries to fuck with people.
The chef knows enough that he has to like walk up to people and I'm not the first person, but it was slightly mortifying. I turned around. I was like, oh, it cuts beautifully. What a beautifully prepared duck. Yeah. Anyway, you know, you can buy yourself a Michelin star meal, but you can't buy yourself
class.
Sure can't.
Manners.
Manners. Yeah, exactly. We're writing middle school applications for our daughter and one of the prompts was, write your child a letter addressing the moments of joy we've had as their parent.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, how annoying, how cheesy. Why can't you just like ask us a straightforward question? But actually it was so fun to write.
I bet you cried.
I did. It was so fun to write. And it makes you sit and think like, what is so special about my kid? And when you address her in a letter, you know, it's just made really. So So we wrote it together, me and my husband, and then we showed it to her.
Oh, my God.
And the last paragraph, she said she almost cried, too.
Oh,
it was very sweet.
That is so sweet.
Yeah.
Also, when you think about things like that, we didn't grow up with that.
100%.
You know?
Yeah.
Would that have changed the kind of people we became if, you know, because I think you and I, we have a lot of, like, emotional barriers. Mm-hmm. And I can guarantee most of that is the way that we were raised, right? Like there wasn't like an effusiveness. We weren't told like, oh, you are so good at this, or complimented in that way. And, you know, no, this is not a dig on our parents, because they were always all doing the best that they could with the tools that they had. But it excites me to hear about what the next generation will be like.
Yeah. And it's not even like, you know, you're so good at this that makes this new generation, I think, different. It's like, you bring me joy.
Right.
Right? Like, the things that make you special actually are things we're so proud of. And it's not that you can read this or that or you're good at math. It was, you know, the two things I wrote were that she finds the fun in everything.
Yes.
And that she's, like, very self-motivated, right? Like, those are the two things I'm like, those are the things I'm most proud of. And it's not a thing I would say to her normally. So I think that's, like, a very good exercise, you know, for all of us to do. Yeah. And we could always just like write that letter and just put it in an email and send it to them later, you know? And
yeah, I mean, that's a way to raise confident kids too. Cause I mean, and I take back what I say about being good at things, cause actually that creates a lot more insecurity because you're like, oh, I'm getting validation for doing this thing. And, you know, that's
achieving these markers. Yeah, I have to
seek that in people. But rather than like finding what that is inside that makes them really confident, it's amazing. I tried to do this last year at my kids' birthdays where I'm like writing an email to their email that I've set up. And then this year I was like, it's too much work. But it was a really nice exercise to like reflect on, here are all the things that we did and what I'm seeing in you and how you're growing up. And that's really beautiful.
Oh, that'll be a lovely thing for them to read.
He'll get one from his sixth birthday.
To be like, yeah, typical mom. Yeah. Did it once. Anything else from your week?
Not super interesting, but I have had these rough, dry, swollen patches on my face for the last 4 months. And I finally was able to get into the dermatologist that I wanted to get to. And she was really amazing. She's like holistic, but also, you know, a medical doctor. So she balances both Eastern and Western. And basically she's like, tell me your entire routine. I want to know from like morning all the way to the time you sleep, what you're putting on your face.
You're so, like, do we have the time?
I mean, I was like, okay,
where should I begin?
Like, literally every single thing.
I mean, some of the things you must do must...
What, scare her?
Yeah, like...
Frighten her?
Mm-hmm, that may not shock be her. Right.
Mm-hmm. She had very amazing bedside manner. So she was so great at pulling me back from even my own judgment. Because I was like, oh, you know, like I've worked so hard on my gut and I've read that eczema is related to your gut. And so it infuriates me that all this work has gone to nothing. She goes, stop right there. We're not going to do that because we are human. Your face is an organ. Like things happen. I get acne, you know.
Who is this magical woman?
I know, she's amazing.
She's a dermatologist therapist?
Exactly. I was like, are you a therapist? It's like, I'm healing all my inner wounds while doing this, having this consult. Somebody in the neighborhood who has a son who has really bad eczema had gone to this woman and she's like the first person that validated all of my feelings and really did not diminish me by being like, hydrocortisone, whatever, get out of here, you know? I went to her and she basically was like, stop everything you're doing. We're going to simplify. Literally just a moisturizer. And I use oils, you know, to moisturize. And she's like, just a cream. I want you to do the most simple thing you can. And
like
then
CeraVe,
she,
like baseline.
Yeah, she wanted me to do La Roche-Posay, which is also a drugstore brand. You get a lot of bang for your buck. And then she sold me a beauty balm that is made with ghee.
Okay.
So basically butter on my face because and she wants me to put it on the swollen spots. And I just, that's why I'm going to look like a greasy ball for the next 4 weeks until she sees me again.
Your hair greasy. Your face greasy.
That's right. Just a grease ball over here.
It's definitely true that we get caught up in these influencers telling us we need 10 different products, which is also, by the way, like a total industry.
Right.
And it's just, they just want our money.
They just, yeah. Because they're getting paid for it to tell us what to buy. The company that's sponsoring is getting paid. This woman that I really love, her name is Amy Chang, and she's on social media, and she's she goes really deep into beauty products. And so I've really liked and respected her. So I kind of had started to follow what she does. But she also will go through flares of eczema. And I'm like, you're probably doing too much.
Yeah.
Because, I have like three acids that I use throughout the week, you know, and even the derm was like vitamin C. People think it's like this hero product. It's actually quite irritating for skin. And she said, you don't need it during the winter. She even told me not to wear SPF during the winter. And I was like, are you sure about that? I don't. That doesn't seem right. In the Korean mentality, that seems a little bit too out there.
Like, that's too far, lady. Yeah. You cannot take away my SPF. Yeah. You can take away my acids. You will not take away my SPF. Well, it's also interesting because, you know, you take these vitamin C's and then they're like, all the packages is like, if it tingles, don't worry. That's a good thing.
If it burns, you know it's working.
So it's also like we've been trained to be like, oh, yeah, no, that must be a good thing. Yeah. Wherein what this lady is saying is like, it's too much. Your skin is telling you, no, I can't have this right now.
That's like actually back in the day when I would do a lot of workout class in San Francisco. A lot of these women who were just like these hyper athletic, but also like pumped up, they would always be like, when it burns, you know, the fat is burning. You know, that's what they would say. And they, I've come to now realize like a lot of that is like really high cortisol
response.
Like, that's actually not great for you. I mean, I'm sure pushing your body once in a while is good, but it's like, just need to do some calm things for your body.
Oh, I like your reset.
Yes. I'm in a Zen mode.
I had seen on TikTok a dermatologist who said, you need three things. You need a retinoid, a vitamin C, and SPF. Like you know, you're going to have to wash your face and you need a moisturizer. But like of all the other things, like those are the three things that you just need at our age. So I think there is something to just kind of pulling back.
Yeah.
Good luck. So let's get started on Singles Inferno season 4. It feels like we've come home after a long journey.
Yes, I feel safe here.
Yeah, like we were on a work trip at like a Radisson. And like now we're back home in our beds, you know?
Yes, that is, ugh, what an analogy.
I just booked a trip. I have to go to New York in a few weeks. And I'm just like staying in some closet in Midtown and just like, that's what it felt like.
Yeah. Which reminds me, I had gone to New York on a work trip a few years ago and it was like this really trendy hotel. So hip.
Yeah.
Young people. There was like maybe a club or I don't know what was going on. But I felt so uncomfortable.
It's so loud.
It's like I just want to go to sleep.
The lights are all neon.
Yes. And even like the furniture looked good, but it was so uncomfortable.
Remember when we went to the W? We were in Mexico City. And, you know, you walk through the W used to be so huge when we were in college. It was like the thing.
So cool.
And then we were walking through it as late 30-year-olds. The lobby is just, you're like, get me out of this lobby.
Yes.
I don't need this. I want
a plush couch.
I want like a white soft interior.
Yeah.
You know, I want some like vases around with some beautiful flowers. I do not need this techno music.
The like bumping music.
At like 7 in the morning. Yeah. No.
And then with that scent.
Oh, that fucking...
It's kind of like a magnolia something, which I know is nice, but it kind of makes me feel sick.
Overwhelming. Every single one of those properties, that's just like that overwhelming smell. But yeah.
Yeah, this is like coming into my own bed with our Barefoot Dreams robe.
Get me that Barefoot Dreams. Even my husband was so excited. He sat next to me. Oh. He had so many comments and he would like slap me on the arm. Like, I haven't heard this many opinions from him since the Lakers traded Caldwell Pope, Harrell, Kuzma to the Washington Wizards for Russell Westbrook. Like, that is how many comments he had for this.
Wow. Yeah.
This season, they are not wasting any time. We first see our commentator panel, which is our favorite part of Singles Inferno.
I love them.
It is the same commentators from last season. I had read that there was a rumor that the girl from last season, the really spicy pretty one. Yeah. No, not the Jenny looking one, the Hajong, the one that was like fiery with the basketball player.
Oh, one of the contestants.
Yes. I had read that she was going to be on the panel.
Oh, really?
Because she had just like a fun personality, but she's not here. I guess they already have decks. And I feel like they need 5 because you have one in the center.
6 is too much.
Yeah, 2 flanking.
They've learned their lesson. They jumped right into it.
Yeah, they have refined this formula. They know exactly what we want. So let's talk about what's the same and what is new about this season versus last season. So the same is the panelists. The same is the setup. You get to go to paradise with somebody. The same is lots of plastic surgery. The same is open-toe men's leather sandals, which, you know, I hate.
If you listen to our last season's recap, that was definitely Leanne's.
My, like, pet peeve, I guess. Yeah. My big turnoff. We still got our helicopter with our helicopter rides, and we get some fancy cars again. So that is what has translated over from last season's. What is new? So men's and women's infernos are separate.
Yes.
It's not clear if it's different islands or it's different sides of one island because it doesn't seem like they're helicoptering across islands.
Yeah. I feel like last season we had this thing
We had two islands.
Two islands, right? So I guess they could be shuttling them on a little boat.
Yes. But last season it was two islands, but it was mixed. This season it's men, women.
That's how it starts, right?
That's how it starts, is separate. The other thing that is different is previous seasons, you get a lot of screen time on the games. They make them play games to go to paradise or like get first choice. And they used to spend like a full episode.
A full episode. Lots of rewinding, lots of slow-mo.
Like torturously.
They practically don't show any of it except for like the winning 3 seconds.
Yeah. It's like a montage, basically.
I mean, they know what the people want.
Yeah, we don't need to see men grappling each other.
Yeah, we want them in the hotel room, or we want the drama with them eating canned chicken.
Right. That's also back from last season. A lot of canned chicken.
And sweet potatoes.
Yes. Right. And so when we skip over all the games, what we get is a lot of paradise. So in these first two episodes, we get 3 paradise dates already. So they're really just, they've read the internet boards.
They've listened to our podcast.
They've taken the feedback. And we are getting a supercharged Singles Inferno season. So we kind of see the commentators and then we get right into meeting the cast. So the first woman that we meet is Li Xi'an. She says she's always in relationships. It's rare that she's single. She's a competitive swimmer.
She's got cat eyes, kissable lips.
Xi'an is the city where they have like the terracotta warriors in China. And so that's all I think about. She, I think, is the prettiest one. We can litigate this, I think.
I mean, let's talk about that later.
Yeah. Girl number 2, she comes in like a red and white cropped ensemble. It's like got like starfish on it. It's super cute.
Yeah, I love that outfit.
Oh, so perfect for the island.
Her name is Tong Yujin. And to me seems the most natural looking.
Yes. She said at a wedding, 6 guys showed her interest all at once.
She says she's lovely. She's adorable.
My husband goes, oh, they call her lovely.
Lovely. And it looks like there's hearts bouncing off of her body.
She says free diving is her hobby.
She looked like she was in an aquarium.
Like a fish. Well, that's how you free dive train, though. You need a very, very deep tank.
Right.
And you basically have a rope. And you just slowly pull yourself down inch by inch. There is actually a great free diving documentary on Netflix. It's called No Limits. You learn a lot about free diving. It's actually quite an interesting sport. Anyway, that is Yujin. The third girl that comes is Kim Min-sol.
And she says she looks like a Maltese.
Like, what does that mean?
The comparison to these animals I find really interesting.
It's a lot of puppy dog.
Yeah, we don't go around being like, oh, she looks like a camel.
Which one of the guys said?
One of the guys said.
I was like, does he mean you have 3 eyelids? Yeah. The sun? Like, what is this?
He's got dry eyes.
So she's the one who goes, wong, wong. And does like the the barking.
What was that sound?
Wong, wong.
It's like an Ewok.
She's seen in her intro doing ballet. My husband says she looks the most Korean out of everybody. The fourth woman, Bae Ji-yeon, works out a lot, they say.
Confident about her body. She's the tan one.
She's the tan one. She likes horseback riding. I think
that's going to be like a marker. We're going to have to.
The tan one.
Yeah.
You know, on the scale of like Sephora, she's still very, very
pale. She's like a 3, but everybody else is a -1.
She says in her intro, she likes a man with strong, big shoulders. And my husband goes, well, there goes my chances. Your husband has no shoulders.
Infamous for having no shoulders.
It's like 0.
Just his backpack slides off of his arms.
The fifth woman. I mean, like, the women just keep coming.
Yeah, and, you know, the previous seasons, what had happened was, like, maybe 1 or 2 women would come out, and then it would be a man. You know, they'd shake it up. It's just woman after woman after woman.
And then these women are looking over the horizon. Like, you kind of have to walk over a hill. And so you see someone coming, but you can't tell really the details. So they're all expectantly looking for a man to show up. And then every time a woman comes over the horizon, their just faces just fall. So it's just another woman to compete with. This next woman, number 5, is Kim Hae-jin. She says she gets a lot of dates. She hears she's unpredictable. She is a starer.
I mean, that's a tactic. You stare at a man intently until He succumbs to you.
Is that your?
That's my tactic.
I'm kind of needing to Google these girls as we're talking because I think this is the problem with this season. We're not even on the sixth woman yet. They actually look so similar and also say almost the exact same things about themselves. Yes. Men really like me. I'm really bubbly. I look like a cute puppy dog. That, like, I can't actually remember anything about them.
Well, and to be fair, we don't get to know three of them very well.
Right, because we don't see them get to go to Paradise.
So I agree with you. I wanted to make that blanket statement like, oh, they look all the same and whatever. But then I had to hold myself back even as I was watching because that is basically implicit bias. You know, that's like racism. And the reason why I started to like be very conscious of it is because my son is one of the few full Korean kids at school.
Yeah.
And there's one other Korean boy that is in his class. Full right. Korean. Okay. Right. They don't actually look alike. If you look at their faces, they don't look alike. Mm-hmm. They have similar haircuts. They're both on the smaller side, but everybody mixes them up to the point that the Asian principal confuses them, which irritates me to no end because at least the Asian principal make an effort, you know, make an effort to distinguish these two boys. And so I was like trying really hard to figure out what distinguished them. But I think because also they all have had plastic surgery and they look, their noses look kind of similar. They're all very tall and thin. It is hard to distinguish.
It's not even the physical appearance. It's like their vibes and their general personalities are actually quite similar. Like in previous seasons, you'll have like a quiet one. You'll have one that's feisty. You'll have, you know, they have like actually different personalities. These all women are very interchangeable because they all look very similar, but also have very similar personalities. And so I was thinking of nicknames. Honestly, like the darker one is the only one we've got because there's like no differentiation between them. At least last season we had Boobs McGee. Like everyone's a Boobs McGee here.
Yeah.
I cannot think of any good nicknames. Maybe they will come. So our last sixth woman, Kim Arin?
Arin.
Arin. Cold and aloof, but easygoing. She skateboards. I think they try to differentiate them with like their hobby.
Yeah. I will say they do have quite unique hobbies.
Yeah.
You ask the group of our friends, most of us be like, watching Singles Inferno? You know, like I'm quite impressed. Like they're free diving, skateboarding. They're doing some kind of extreme sports. They all look like they work out. So that's kind of cool.
They all look like they work out. And then they actually get into the games and you're like, gals, do we have any core strength here?
Also, what I have realized, and I'm just so naive that I didn't know that this was a thing. You can get these fat dissolving shots into like your arms, into your stomach, you know? So I think they all look like they're fit, but they're probably
just
dissolving the fat.
Interesting. I think the other thing that's throwing me is that everyone's teeth this season are so overdone.
The veneers.
They're so
out of control.
It's like Austin from Love After Divorce is here. Six of them. I mean, in the bright inferno sun, these men are being blinded by these teeth. It's like that episode of Friends when Ross over whitens his teeth and then there's like the black light. Like that's how it feels. Like their teeth are just too much. So those are the women. So we meet the men. We meet the first man who wins the first challenge and gets to go to paradise. His name is
Yook Chunsa. Yook is a really unique name. So I think we could call him Yook.
I was going to call him
Yuck.
Stringy hair. Boy needs some leave-in condish.
They recognize it. This panel recognizes him because I think he's famous-ish. He is a former UDT soldier just like Dex.
Right.
And he's been on a few reality shows and it looks like he also was a part of a drama.
I mean, he's a good looking guy.
He's quite good. I mean, he's got a unique face.
Yes.
I couldn't tell if he got a nose job.
He probably
did. I think he did. And then match with like, he has pretty small eyes, but they really work on his face.
He's got kind of this cool guy, long hair vibe.
It was to the point where when he showed up on the men's island, the men thought he was a woman because of his hair. But unlike the other guys, he's quite humble. Like the other guys are like, I'm so good looking, all the women are falling for me. He's like, yeah, I'm just like an ordinary guy.
Yeah.
I'm not that popular.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He's got like a kind of unassuming charm to him. So that's our first guy.
Our second guy is Kim Tae-hwan, and he's the guy who's full of self-love.
Oh my God. This guy. Talk about a nose on that. What a nose.
What a nose.
He's like Baby Gonzo from Muppet Babies.
Oh my God.
He's just got a schnoz on him. I think we are also like so easy to tear him down because he comes on his interview and is like, I look in the mirror and sometimes I get lost in my own eyes. I am so handsome. I've been hearing that since I was young. You know, like you just set yourself up to be torn down when you say things like that in your interview. Like we like a humble king, you know?
Yeah, I'm a humble king.
And
that's right.
Not right.
He also says he spent more time prioritizing love than career, which I'm not impressed by.
And still nothing to show for
right.
it.
He's like, and here I am, still on Singles Inferno.
Right. Even the commentators are like, nah.
You're not that good looking.
The third guy is
Kook Tong Ho. Also a unique name. Kook. Like a kooksu, kookmul, kook. Which is
noodle
soup. He, to me, is undistinguishable.
Oh, my gosh. So blah. He says he has camel-like eyes.
Yeah, again. What is this? What is up with
the comparison? It helps in Inferno because there's a lot of sand.
Right. I couldn't even remember what he looked like, to be honest. And then we have Chang Tae-ho.
And they're like, Tae-ho? He's like, nope, Tae-ho.
Tae-ho.
He calls himself a bulldozer. He is noticeable because when he walks into the men's Inferno, he's like, yo, what's up?
Yo.
He comes in really hot. We see later that he's spent time in America, but I wrote down when we were introduced to him, I was like, oh, this guy feels like he's been in America because he just comes in so hot. Usually they don't introduce themselves.
Yeah,
usually they just sit down quietly. He really comes in hot. So that's Tae-ho. And then we have
Kim Jung-soo.
Deep, reassuring voice.
Acts like a golden retriever.
Yes. 안녕하세요. He does have a very deep voice. He's like the James Earl Jones of Korea.
But also, he to me is unremarkable.
Unremarkable.
Him and Kook Soo, yeah. Kook Tong Ho, couldn't tell you what they look like.
Nope. But we do get Paradise. So we actually, what's different, right, is that we learn a lot about these people really up front because we have a good mix of people who get to go to Paradise. And a lot of times in old seasons, you don't get to know anybody's career or age until like way late.
Until episode 3.
Yeah. So like we're all sitting here guessing. But of course, up front here, we know right off the bat. So we meet stringy hair.
What's that? Stringy hair.
Really, I was grabbing for his name and all I can say is stringy hair.
Yook Chun-sa, it was the winner of whatever challenge he had with the men, and he had to pick a woman just based purely on looks. Like within 5 seconds, he has a pick. And all the women looked at him and said, "Muzawa."
What does that mean?
Like, scary. He's scary looking.
The one that kind of smiles at him.
Yujin, who's the one with the cropped red
starfish outfit.
Yeah. She keeps smiling and he picks her.
To be fair to him, he definitely has a hard time picking someone. It must be so awkward. You know, like heavy is the head that carries the first Paradise crown because he just like, you don't know anything about these people. It's like so clear you're just going off of looks and that doesn't feel great.
That doesn't feel good.
That's not why you're here. Yeah. And if that's not who you are, they're just making him like look bad. And then I was like, oh, okay, so that's it. That's all we're going to get. We get a second guy walk up.
Our golden retriever, Kim Jung-soo.
Deep voice.
And he comes in and picks Yi Xian, who was the very first girl in the white dress. And the best part was that girl, Kim Hye-jin, who she has aggressive veneers, like horse teeth. And she was smiling. Like it was so clear. She was like forcing a smile. And then she doesn't get chosen. And her face is this like evil, like, like the smile vanishes. And she stares with daggers in her eyes.
Into the horizon, plotting her revenge. They get to go to the Banyan Tree Hotel in Seoul. So they're in Seoul this time. They're not over in Jeju.
Right.
My father-in-law, who worked in hotels, says this is a fine hotel. It's
small. Oh, really? Wait, did you like message him when you saw
sure.
the episode?
My husband did.
I looked it up. Give me the lore on Banyan Hotel.
We get jobs and we get ages. So UDT Frizzy Hair, he is 28 years old.
And he's an artist.
I know.
I actually really like this guy. He seems like very multifaceted. He draws. And then she's a dancer, having graduated from IHWA, a very prestigious women's college. So they're both in the arts, which I think is very a very good match.
Getting a master's degree in dance. My husband literally goes like, what are you going to do with that master's degree? Like, why would you need a master's in dance? When you see her like in her real life doing her dancing, she looks so beautiful and is very natural looking. And so I actually do really like her a lot too.
Also, the best thing was, this is probably relevant for you, because he was slicing into the meat and he's like, oh, is this duck? And she's like, no, I'm pretty sure this is steak. He's like, oh, sorry, I just don't know these things.
I don't get to eat like this often.
Which side of the knife am I supposed to use?
I know, him and me were the same. We do get some pool time, very early pool time on this date. Dancing gal is wearing a very demure swimsuit. I very much pay attention to the debut of the swimsuits. I think it tells you a lot about these ladies.
Okay. What was she wearing? I did not even notice.
It was definitely a one piece. Boobs were not.
Oh,
boobs
really?
Were not out. Yeah. So it was definitely like a proper swimsuit. We've seen swimsuits in the past where like the boobs are up to their necks.
Oh yeah.
And just huge cleavage. That's a much more of a come at me. We also see when they're not into the guys, they wear swimsuits that go up to their neck and they wear like long
sleeves.
They
wear like a wetsuit.
Yeah. Like an SPF shirt.
So cutesy, so demure.
Yes. So they go swimming.
He's kind of a spaz.
He's such a spaz.
And, you know, I think the initial impression is that he's going to be mute, stoic.
Like a cool guy.
Yeah, but he's very cute and very talkative. He's like
splish splashing around.
Yeah, he's doing laps. So getting his workout in.
He's like funny, a little bit goofy.
Yes.
I think, you know, some girls like a goofy guy. I'm not sure Yujin is that into him at the pool. Because he keeps saying like, you know, next time when we come back and I'll bring you back here. Yeah. And she kind of just right. like, ha ha ha.
Yeah, I think she's interested, but doesn't want to put her eggs into the basket this early.
Which is the smart play.
Yeah, absolutely. She has not met any other guys. Like she's the only one that has not met everybody else.
Yeah, she has been whisked away immediately.
Right, immediately. And he's had the opportunity to see everyone.
Yep. Our second date takes place with deep voice, Jongsu. I wrote down deep throat.
Oh, God. Okay, well, we know where your head was.
As his nickname, but I think it might be too much. So deep voice, Jongsu, and Xian, terracotta warrior. These two
I found very boring.
So boring. But the commentators kept being like, oh, their vibe is so good. They're so easy with each other. And I was like,
it just means boring.
No fireworks.
Yeah, but I did recognize that it was a very natural conversation. They were not awkward around each other.
Especially because he's 33.
And she's 25.
And immediately I was like, oh, no. Usually these really young girls and the older guys, they don't generally like each other because I think that age gap is quite large in the Korean culture. So deep voice, he is our barista. There's always a barista.
Always got to have one.
Always have one. This is an early barista. We don't always see our baristas this early. He runs 5 coffee shops in Hanamdong and Songsudong. I mean, this guy seems big time.
Yeah.
I think another nickname for him could be Barista Boss.
Yeah, I think our fans would resonate better with that. We'd get canceled for the deep throat. Although I find that one to be funnier.
You can tell these shows are getting more sophisticated because, what was it, like 3 seasons ago, the barista was a corn latte guy. Remember? Corn latte
guy? And he just worked at the shop.
Yeah, yeah. He just like made corn lattes at one shop in some podunk town.
Oh, yeah. He was in the country.
He was not in Seoul. Okay, so that was 3 seasons ago. Last season, we got Country Hulk.
Yeah, so he was still in the country.
Yes.
But elevated. He owned them, I believe.
Definitely looked very chic. And he looked like a businessman. A man who's there to do business. So a step up from corn latte. And now we've got, three seasons later, a boss who runs five coffee shops five in shops. The trendiest neighborhoods in Seoul.
He is a little bit more classy.
And so next season, what are we going to get?
We are going to get the CEO of CJ, the cafe branch.
These two eat dinner. There's a lot of pasta, like aglio, aglio, aglio.
Yeah, and then they eat again.
They eat so much.
They have fried chicken and champagne.
Literally all they do on these dates, eat, sit, swim, eat again. There's always a second meal.
How are they so thin?
It's a mystery.
We also didn't mention that she's our token model.
Yes.
Womp womp.
I mean, there's got to be one. She models for an athleisure brand.
And I didn't find anything in their date to be particularly interesting. I have nothing to say.
He does. I think the commentators talk about him as if he has like an older guy's experience. Like he kind of just does things comfortably. He knows what to say. He knows how to act. He's not nervous at all. I think that puts this 25-year-old at ease. So it was an easy date. Nothing crazy. We don't see the pool for these guys, but they do face masks.
Yeah, and he brought them. So he came ready. He's like the basketball player of last season.
Yes. I mean, because this is a move. Put it on me.
Yes.
Like, that's pretty slick. Now we've got skinship.
Only in Korea, put it on me.
But
it's a sheet mask.
He has to sleep on the cot. He says, my feet are sticking off the edge.
I mean, that's an invitation, right? I mean, ask me into the bed, please.
Yes. Look how uncomfortable I am.
And she tells him, she's like, come sleep over in here. It's fine.
Yeah. He stays on his cot like a gentleman. But she moves closer to him.
Yes, she turns around.
And scoots to the edge.
Yeah. That was a slick move on her part.
These two are here to play. These two end their date like actually quite into each other. She seems a little bit smitten by him. Those are our first two dates.
And meanwhile, in hell.
In Inferno. Men are eating scrambled eggs. They think they're going to be all lonely by themselves on their island. And then who comes walking over the hill?
Kim Arin.
We see that she gets to be the first woman on the men's Inferno because she won the first battle amongst the women, which was a chicken fight. Hold one leg, push the other out of the ring. I mean, look, for all their athleisure wear and all their supposed hobbies and working out, these girls showed
no
strength,
balance.
Nothing. I mean, like, but also practice.
Right. You know they play the chicken game every season.
Yes, it's this one and the really uncomfortable wrestling one with the thing around your waist. Like, just practice those two. You know they're coming. Moving on. Day two. They're coming back to paradise. The model and barista boss, they're on the helicopter. And the model is like, I feel nauseous. Mm. And again, smooth barista boss. Literally don't know his name. What was his name again?
Chong Soo,
deep voice guy. He massages her hand.
In between the thumb and the index finger. We've talked about this on the pod. This is where you massage when you're feeling nauseous.
Again, this guy is a smooth character. He kind of just takes it upon himself. He doesn't ask her. He just like grabs her hand, massages it. Her tummy suddenly feels so much better. I was actually hoping for puke. I really wanted to see it. I just want to see something happen on these helicopter rides.
That would be amazing. I mean, I would hope by 33 you have some moves.
If you
couldn't do something like that at the age of 33, there's no hope for you.
We have seen some pretty loser guys come on this show at an advanced age who have zero moves. So really loving barista's moves. We hear the bing bong bong. The girls coming out of paradise go to men's Inferno. And the two men were on paradise now go to the women's Inferno. So the girls get to go meet all the other guys they've never seen before. And they're meeting Arin there too. But the guys, these are the ones, they have to go back to an island full of women that they rejected.
That they rejected the very first round.
It's so good. I love that the men are in like an uncomfortable position.
Yes.
I love that from the producers. The girls are coming to Men's Inferno. The guys, as they're coming, asks Arin, who is the prettiest on the girls' island?
She says it's her.
So good.
It's so good, but honestly, up to that point, I really hadn't noticed her. So.
And she's not joking. She's not joking.
Yeah.
No. She is dead serious that she thinks she's the prettiest one.
I love, though, that Hong Jin-kyung, who is the main host with the yellow sweatshirt smiley face sweatshirt.
She has like the short hair.
Yeah.
She's the funny
one. She's like, this generation.
Yeah.
They've got some balls.
I know. There's no humility.
No.
And if you're going to come on the show, like, I want you to play the game. You've got to say yourself, right?
And Theo, he's ready.
Oh, he's ready.
He jumps up and he's like, why did it take so long? I've been waiting for a long time.
And so, like, they have a few conversations and then it's another paradise, bing, bong, bong, like, immediately.
Immediately.
They must have booked some kind of
deal that, like, they have to utilize the room. Every single day.
Like, what are the minimum night rates that they got at the Banyan Tree? Because they are filling that hotel. We get another Paradise matchup. Before we actually find the matches, we see a lot of the one-on-ones. And Teo just is like,
he's a bulldozer.
Yo, what's up? Like, really, that is his energy.
And he's like, oh, should I send a video message to my mother-in-law? Yeah. Referencing Xian's mom because he's like, oh, we're such a good match. It's too much.
I thought he was too much, but also find him weirdly charming.
Yeah, I think he really grew on me through the episode. Xian seems to be just equally as annoyed, but really curious about him.
궁금해서? 궁금해서? What is it? How do you say curious?
Oh, that was close enough. 궁금. 궁금했어?
Oh my God, that's all we hear on this show. And that an ideal type?
이상형.
Yeah, 이상형. That is such a Korean thing. Well, I think that in Japanese too. We definitely see it in Terrace House, but it's like, what is your ideal type is constantly asked. I feel like in American dating shows, you're not being like,
I guess we don't really typecast that much. And I think in America, because we're not homogenous, it'd be hard to be like, oh, I only like blonde women with big eyes, big blue eyes.
Yes, yes. I only like dog-like women.
Yeah.
Wong, wong.
Maltese are my specialty. Or you wouldn't be, it would be actually terrible if you went around as a white man being like, I like Asian women.
Yeah.
You couldn't say that in this day and age.
You're right, you're right. So ideal type comes up so much also with 고구마쇼, 고구마쇼. So we...
That's also, 고구마 is sweet potato. Maybe you heard sweet potato, 고구마.
Maybe, maybe. They do eat a lot of sweet potato here
they
too.
Do. Well, what's your ideal type? What's your 이상형?
I mean, you know that. I mean, you've definitely not agreed with a lot of the types of guys I've liked on these shows. Because I like a guy that talks shit. You know, yeah. I like a funny guy.
You like Teo.
Yes.
You liked Kwan Hee from last season.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I like a guy who can give you shit back. You know, I don't want shoulders. If you look at my husband, my ideal type.
Oh, he's your ideal type.
No shoulders.
No shoulders.
Gives me shit all
You're gonna
the
have
time.
To carry your backpack by yourself.
I have to carry both backpacks, front and back. So yeah, my ideal type is a man who has no shoulders, slightly emotionally abusive, and maybe wears curlers sometimes.
Quarter inch
barrel. Yes. So how about you? What is your ideal type?
I guess my husband.
You like, you know, a pretty boy. We
I like a pretty
that.
Boy. I also like somebody who's on the quieter side and like mysterious, but then knows how to be funny and talk shit behind closed doors. Like we can have fun behind closed doors, but not somebody who's like really out there.
Mm-hmm. That is your husband to a T, I'd say. Yes. Yeah. I know people have worked with him at work and they say like he's just this mysterious guy because he doesn't really, and he's obviously very nice, but he doesn't really engage in the like office banter.
Yes.
And there was a story about cookies once. I can't remember, but it was like, you know, what? He just like wouldn't eat the cookies. Like everyone was raving about cookies and like he didn't eat the cookies and like what? That added to his mystery. Like, why doesn't this guy
He's
eat
probably
cookies?
Like, I saw you take a shit and not wash your hands. I'm not touching that.
Yeah.
See, like, so he would say that behind closed doors, but in your face, be like, no, thanks. I'm not hungry.
Right. Exactly. So then of all of these guys, right, Teo seems like more of my ideal type. Are there any of these guys that kind of fall in your lane of ideal type?
At this point, based on what we know, it would be Yook. Because he's kind of like that, you know, like
Who's this one? I just literally cannot keep track. I need like
stringy hair.
Oh, stringy hair. Mr. Conditioner. Okay, so stringy hair. Like, I wish he would wear a man bun. Then we can call him man bun. Like, I cannot like, I need like America's Most Wanted poster up in front of us while we record so I can put some faces to some names.
Yeah, and it's tough because their names are hard.
Not easy names.
They are not easy names. But we got a pretty harsh comment last season for the fact that we didn't use their full names, and they were like, oh, just because they're not Americans, you can't remember their names. I'm like, kinda. I'm Korean, okay? I still can't remember them. These are complicated names.
Sometimes I look at you and be like, wait, what's your kid? You know, like, you're, yeah, you know, I you're, mean, you're, who's I, your what?
Right.
What's, you know, that husband's one, that name? One. You know. Yeah, exactly. So, guys, we are.
With a lot on our minds, okay?
We're perimenopausal. Like, we cannot keep things. We cannot keep track of things. Okay. So, you think stringy hair is more your kind of guy. I see that. He's, like, quiet but funny.
Yeah.
And seems very kind. Right. That's the other thing about your husband is that he comes off as very nice. Like, he was known in college as just, like, the nicest guy. Mm. He always was watching out for you. But I was actually, like, he's the biggest dick behind doors.
Oh, you know, you got to – the quiet ones are the ones you need to be afraid of, actually.
Yes, yes. He's got the cattiest meow behind closed doors, that one.
Also, he grew up with two sisters. So, you know.
That's what happens. Nothing else really interesting happens. We do see Dong-ho a little bit.
Our Kuksu guy. He's the one that says he looks like a camel.
Yes.
But then he's sitting with Xian and she's trying to say, you remind me of a tang, which is the start of tanggun, carrot. And he's like, a carrot? I look like a carrot? And then she redeems herself by saying, no, you look like a donkey.
It is not starting off well for him. Donkey.
She goes, no, donkeys are cute.
We also do see a little bit of Taewon, who is the boy who thinks he's very pretty.
Yeah, the self-proclaimed best-looking guy in the world.
Right, like pretty boy, but not that pretty guy. He meets up with Xian. You can tell he's really into Xian.
Yes. But also, you can tell he's very young.
Just the way you even stand when you're like waiting to give your ticket away, you stand with a better posture.
Right.
There's confidence that you're exuding. You can tell he's like kind of twiddling his fingers. He's a little nervous. Yeah. Like he definitely must be very young. We might never know. My question is going to be, who do you think is going to be the most in paradise? And who do you think is never going to make it or get that pity invite?
Taewon for sure is not going to paradise. And I think Kuk Dong-ho, who is
camel
slash donkey.
Oh my god,
is likely gonna get a pity vote, but I don't think anyone's gonna be into him.
And who do you think is gonna go the most
of the women? It's definitely gonna be Xian.
Agree. Of the men, I think it's Tae-o. I think a lot of them find him to be annoying, but like they want to know more.
Yeah, and he's kind of an outlier. You don't see that kind of personality very often in Korean culture because it's kind of looked poorly upon to be so braggadocious and
just like attention seeking.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think many of them would want that kind of energy in their life.
Right. Most people want to just get to know what's going on and then they're like, oh, that's not right for me. Someone like me is like, yeah, why don't I just hitch my wagon
right
to this
into that fire?
Let me just welcome this abuse into my life forever. So then we do our ticket trades. Dong-ho, camel, donkey. You think that you're saying he might get a pity vote, but actually Yujin gives her ticket to Dong-ho. So he is somebody's choice.
Right.
Up early in the game. Dong-ho makes the wrong call.
And he picks Arin.
And Arin makes the wrong call and gives it to
Tae-o.
And Tae-o, who did you think Tae-o was going
to pick? Oh, I knew he was going to pick Xian.
Yes.
He was so into her.
Yes. So Tae-o picks Xian. Taehwan also picks Xian, obvi. Xian, who did you think Xian was going to pick?
I wasn't convinced that she was going to pick Tae-o, but of the three, that was really all she had.
Yeah. So Xian picks Tae-o. So when she picks Tae-o, he clicks his tongue like, that's right.
Yep.
Oh, this guy.
And then he has to show everybody the tickets.
He's the winner. She literally says, what is wrong with you? And I am loving that energy.
Yes.
That's going to be very entertaining. We get to paradise. Tae-o is 29. He's an actor trying to make it in America. What are his success chances here?
I think there's a chance that they'll get together at the end, but I don't think they'll last. Oh, are you talking about his acting career?
Talking about his acting career.
the very loose sleuthing I did, it looks like he did a movie in Malaysia or somewhere else abroad. So he doesn't say the U.S. initially. He says
abroad.
He went abroad, and then now he's in New York, maybe like taking acting classes or something. But
because he doesn't actually have a very agreeable face.
He says that himself. He's like, oh, I have a very strong look. And he said in Korean, sometimes people think my eyes kind of look like they're ripped. Mm. You know, they're just like beady a little bit, very.
He looks almost like cross-eyed sometimes. It's yeah. not clear. Something's right. off. Yeah.
And he knows he's a love or hate for a woman.
Yeah.
Like either they really like that kind of look or they don't.
He literally cannonballs on her into the pool. That is a first. That is a singles inferno first is the first cannonball. Only does the biggest goofball would do that. Also, Shion wearing a demure swimsuit. She does an off the shoulder with a ruffle.
Okay. Well, that's kind of cute. That's like a little like half. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to give you half of my body.
Exactly. Let me give you one shoulder.
But she's a completely different person around him. I felt like she was
more assertive.
More assertive, a lot more flirty than she was with our barista boss.
Yes. And I think it might be an age thing. Like they're much closer in age. Right. And he also is just kind of like a looser personality. So it brings it out in her. I think of all the women, she's the best talker. She's definitely like her one-on-ones never feel too
forced.
Quiet, yeah. You know, she definitely has a great personality. So we get to see that paradise date. We know what happened on the men's island. We still have a women's island. There's two men over there who've been to paradise, three women who have not been to paradise, the three scorned women. So we will also see, I think in the next episode, that'd be episode 3, how they're going to match up if they do. And that's about it for the two episodes.
Yeah, that's it. We see a bit of chemistry between our stringy hair, Yook.
Yes.
And Jion, the three shades darker lady.
Three shades darker lady. Dex is obsessed with and yes, he loves her.
And Dex likes a tan woman. Tan for Korea woman.
Yes. You know who needs a spray tan? Is Tahi on the commentators panel. She's wearing like a yellow Versace print looking thing with her like a head.
And the earrings.
Yes. She's wearing a shorter skirt. So you can see her legs. Her legs are like girl needs a.
Translucent.
Yes. She needs a spray tan.
Well, I also think she needs a color analysis.
Correct.
That was not a good look on her.
No. Yellow and gold.
No.
Not so much.
Yellow is really hard to pull off as an Asian woman.
I mean, she still looks amazing and gorgeous.
She's beautiful.
And the last time we did see her was recently on Mr. Plankton. Mm-hmm. So it is nice to see her again where she belongs.
Yeah, not acting.
Not acting. Sitting next to short hair comedian lady. That's where we want her.
Oh, again with the Myers-Briggs. I thought we were done with that. It's like when somebody's like, oh, I'm an N. What? I don't even know what that would mean.
No idea. I think the only thing that you can really guess is E or I. After having only talked to somebody for 5 minutes, the other ones are very kind of like deeply personal. Like you really do need to know somebody to know if they're like the I and the S and the J. Like how do you know they're judgy? You know, so it's a dumb
game.
Doesn't
mean judgy. That's not what it's for.
Is that not what J stands for?
It's judgment, but it's judicious. For people, yeah, who are like logical.
I thought it was judgy.
We're J's all the way.
Our favorite part of being back in reality Showtown is Mary F. Kill. You know, again, like these girls don't prepare for these chicken fight games in these shows. I literally did not write down Mary F. Kill, even though I knew we were going to do it. And so here we are. Mary, who would you marry?
I would marry Barista Boss.
Me too.
Oh,
we like our men mature.
Mature.
He has a good job.
I want him to take care of me. Yes, exactly. I want stability.
Yes. Who would you F?
Theo. Teo?
Nice.
Are we on the same page right now? Is this the first time? This is like when a couple starts to look alike. We're just starting to think alike. Our periods are the same and we're going to start wanting the same men.
Totally in sync. Well, Teo, you've got to get him up front because I feel like he's just going to get more and more annoying.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to be killed soon.
That's the thing about Shion. She's like, oh, my gosh, what is wrong with this guy? You know, she says that out loud, but she still wants to go on a date with him. in about 10 years, she's going to be like, this guy's fucking annoying. I cannot stand everything he does.
He's going to be on like Law and Order as the dead body. That's the only thing that's going to be on his credits. Yeah, she's going to be tired of him in 10 years for sure. Okay, kill. We might be aligned again.
It's got to be. Well, we're just thinking men at this point, right? That's want Taewon dead.
Same. Yes. Same. Get that schnoz out of here. Most of it is just that he seems very young, but also you cannot start your intro being like, I am so handsome, and everybody tells me that. Like, you can't be like, I am so handsome, but not actually be that handsome.
Right.
The girls do it, and you're like, okay.
Honestly, fine. Even if Brad Pitt says that, yeah. I would be like, no.
But isn't it weird because the girls say it too, and we're just like, oh, ha, 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 silly ladies. You know? Like, oh, they're just...
Well, you know bragging. What? I like a confident woman. I want my men to be humble.
Of the women, is there anybody you would kill?
Minseol. But she's just not interesting to me.
Well, Minseol, though, she's the only one, you know, the two men come back from paradise, and then these three women are like, we're the ones that we didn't get picked. And the other two are like, I kind of don't like that I get picked. I'm not sure I'm like going to be into them. They didn't pick us. And Minseol's the only one that's like, I'm actually really excited to see them. I want to see what they're up to. So I kind of have to give her credit for that. Good start to our Mary F. Kills. We'll see how that evolves over time. Okay, so that was Singles Inferno, Season 4, Episodes 1 and 2. So fun. So glad to be back. Loving this cast so far. Loving the new style and pace of the episodes. We have episodes 3 and 4 coming up next.
I'm so happy this show is back. If the show was on all year round, I would be so happy.
The coffee industry in Korea would have to come to a grinding halt because all the baristas and models would be on this show all the time. Hope everybody has a good week. To all of our listeners in LA, hope everything is going well down there. We will be back next week. Until then, be well, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye.